Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message, a summary of the message preached on September 30th, 2012 from our Sovereignty series. And we're in a mini-series called the Sovereign Doctrines of Grace, and this message is the second of those five messages, and it's entitled Sovereign Grace Originates in God. And we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, resident aliens in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now, last week we looked at the fact that we are absolutely needy of sovereign grace. And the reason for that is because the Bible portrays the human race as totally depraved. And yes, we take that stand and say that we agree with many who have determined that God doesn't leave wiggle room for a sinful people. God's indictment of the human race is, before Him, there is no one righteous. No, not one. And there's no one who seeks God. So the Bible portrays us as a sinful race. We're ruined by choice because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden at the fall. We're corrupt to the core. By nature, we're corrupt to the core. And we are at enmity against God. And therefore, because of our sin and our rebellion against God, before God, who is a holy, righteous, and just God, we stand condemned as a human race. There is no divine spark in humanity. There is no natural bent toward God. We can't even say that if given an opportunity, people would willingly choose God. And worse than that, and we oftentimes do this, we'll say some are better than others. Maybe, person to person, looking, judging from one human to another, by humans, by human standards. But according to God's standard, there's no one better than the other. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. More than that, as we studied last week, the Bible uses terms in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that we are spiritually discerned, meaning we're judged. We're unable and unwilling, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 7, we're unwilling, unable to submit to God. So no one is righteous. All have sinned. We're helpless, yet in our helplessness, we wouldn't even choose to see our need. This is the condition by nature of fallen humanity. We're hopeless, yet we're unwilling to reach out. Many people try to put the blame on God and say, God then is responsible for our sinfulness. Couldn't He have stopped it? Friends, people are offended by the notion of the doctrine of election, and they say, therefore then we are simply robots. Well, the truth of the matter is, from the Scripture, we are not robots. For God has placed a responsibility on every human being. By nature, we choose to sin. By nature, we ignore God. By nature, our hearts are darkened. Our minds are futile. God did not create a race of robots. He created people with the ability to choose righteousness. But after the fall, that race, the human race of which you and I are part of, black, white, Chinese, Japanese, whatever skin color, whatever ethnic origin, all have sinned and fall short. So, we're in absolute need for God to be gracious to people. And the doctrines of grace provide our hope and assurance. Now, I'm providing for you today a summary of the message preached yesterday. The best thing for you, if you live in close proximity, is to come to Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church in Columbus, Indiana, and hear the full messages, but we give you just part today. There's a most beautiful doctrine that benefits us, especially those of us who have believed. And I would go so far as to say it benefits. It is a grace toward the sovereign, from sovereign God toward a fallen race. And it's the doctrine of election. And we believe that the scripture teaches that God's grace originates in God toward certain people, an elect people, whom God chose to love. Before the creation of the world, God, before the creation of the world, chose to love some people. This is one of the most offensive doctrines to humanity. Even in Christian circles, people hate this doctrine. But God will function and work according to His good pleasure. God was moved in His own heart, according to His love, to save people of His choice, apart from any actual or foreseen merit of their own. Now, I sympathize with my brothers and sisters who find this to be an offensive doctrine. I think we all agree there is election. God does elect. It's this matter of, did God elect based on any merit or foreknowledge of faith? Many would say that that's the case. Not so much for merit, but the fact that God looked down in the future and saw some who would believe according to their own free will. But God is the one who chose His own apart from any actual merit or foreseen merit or foreseen belief. God chose to love a particular people according to His free will. We believe that the will of man is corrupted as well and is bound according to the sinful nature. The will is only as free as the nature of the man. And if you are bound in sin, if your heart is unregenerate, if you have not been born again, then your will is bound to reject God by nature. We must have ourselves a Savior, and God has chosen to send His Son to save those that He has elected unconditionally. And this is upsetting. On the other hand, so here's what people say. Good. This doctrine of unconditional election is oftentimes so offensive, people will say that God is unfair and unjust. And they would argue that good people then, because of this faulty doctrine, they would say, good people who would have gone to heaven otherwise are in hell. Because God, if this is true, then God arbitrarily chose some and excluded others. That is God's prerogative. On the other hand, if we accept the biblical position of the ruin of man, of the total depravity of humanity, election then is the primary reason people are in heaven. This is the clearest reading of Scripture. So if we accept the biblical position that all have sinned, that there's none righteous, no one seeks God, the heart is darkened, the mind is futile, then this doctrine of unconditional election is the primary reason people are in heaven. Charles Spurgeon said, I believe in the doctrine of unconditional election because I am quite sure that if God had not chosen me, I would have never chosen Him. And I am quite sure that He chose me before I was born, or else He never would have chosen me afterward. Election is all about God's choice. God exercises His sovereign right to choose. If God is sovereign over all things in the universe, with the exception of the human will, then God is not our sovereign. He can't be sovereign unless He has domination, power, sovereign rule and control over all things, even the will of man. And it's God's sovereign right to choose. This doesn't make God out to be vindictive. As we're going to see here shortly, the scripture portrays this aspect of God's choice as a choice that he made in love. The scripture says God is love. We can't say God is love in every aspect of his being, even in his judgment, except for the doctrine of election. We cannot pervert this doctrine to the point that we say it's not loving. Again, the scripture says that the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 8:7, the sinful mind is enmity against God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. God's election is unconditional because it's not merited or earned. The Bible says that God saved us not because of anything righteous that we had done, but according to his good pleasure. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, speaks about names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life did not believe on the Lord, were in rebellion against him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 portray God as making his choice, his elective choice, in love. Not for any other reason than in love. Listen to this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So 1 Peter, when we come to 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it provides simple clarity. For further reading, you might read Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through chapter 11, and understand a little bit more detail the doctrine of election. You can also read Ephesians chapter 1 and study this and see that it's for the praise of God's glory that he does it. It's in love, and we'll see his love for his son is what prompts the heart of God in eternity past to choose some to give as a gift to his son. And Peter captures this by using a beautiful yet oftentimes misunderstood word called foreknowledge. We know that foreknowledge indicates that God has knowledge. But the thing about it is, it doesn't say that God simply has knowledge. It's called foreknowledge. God is omniscient, that's for sure. God knows all future events. There's no question about that. But foreknowledge is inseparable from God's decree. That is, God's sovereign plan and purpose. Foreknowledge is God's determination flowing from love. And in this case, it is a determination before the creation of the world, prompted by love or flowing from love, wherein God, according to his foreknowledge, chose some. In Scripture, knowing the thought of the idea of to know or knowing or knowledge is inseparable from affection. For God to truly know is for God to truly love. For God foreknew. Israel, according to Amos chapter 3, verse 2, was known by God. Of all the nations on the earth, known by God. That means God loved Israel. Now, did he hate the other countries, other nations, other peoples? Only in this sense, that God chose to set his affections on one particular people, Israel, to love them, to shepherd and guide them, to discipline them, and to keep them from going their own way. But God had knowledge of all peoples of the earth, every people group, every nation, but he knew and loved a particular people. And so when it comes to the electing choice of God, he chose, according to his foreknowledge, that is, out of the overflow of love, he decreed you and me, if we're in the faith, he decreed us to be saved, to be loved, to receive his love, to receive the redemption that came in Christ Jesus. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love for us, so we recognize his love, his electing love at the cross. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Election, then, is God's seal that he loves his choice. If he elects, he loves. Then, and this love is in Christ. And oh, how Christ loves his people. He cherishes these gifts, believe it or not, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again. You're a gift from the Father to the Son. John chapter 6, verse 37 speaks about this so beautifully. As we wrap up here in just a few moments. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's not to say, see, Jesus said all who come. So God has given, and those God has given will come. How does that work? I believe that the message spoken, the Spirit works, creating faith. Faith is engaged, and the Spirit has opened the eyes and gives new birth to the heart. But it begins and ends with God. In John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I will that those you have given me would be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. The Father so loves his elect that he graciously gave up his own Son for them. That by giving up his own Son, these that God foreknew, loved before the foundation of the world, would be redeemed, because even the elect have to have need a Savior. Christ died for God's choice. The election of God is based on God's sovereign, eternal love for his people. And why, you might ask? Because God chose to love. But election, as beautiful as it is, does not release us from responsibility. Christ gave us the responsibility to go and tell this good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that peace with God can be had through believing on him according to faith. Those who have ears will hear. But if we don't go and we don't tell, we are showing that we don't believe that God has commissioned his people, his church, to go and tell. It is ultimately God's sovereign choice. God saves. But the means by which he has chosen to awaken his elect and quicken them, first by creating faith through this, as the Spirit works through the word preached. So I would encourage you, rejoice in this doctrine of election. But as you rejoice, go tell this wondrous news that Jesus Christ is Lord to every person you meet. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you much grace. Amen.